All right, folks, this is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron.
And psychic Tom Paget. Crystal ball shined up and ready to go.
All right. Volume up.
So, first question for Tom's crystal ball.
And, of course, we had the big football game last weekend and lost the bet. So, I'm going to send you some lobsters, Tony.
Yeah.
Unless you really want the shirt that I was going to get you. You can have one meal or the shirt.
No, not the shirt.
All right, so I got it all set up. Just got to ship it out there. You're going to get some nice lobster tails and some clam chowder.
Cool. Sounds good.
Probably by the weekend, if it all goes well.
Okay. Not
early next week. I found one place that ships it for free, surprisingly. Took me a while.
Cool.
But another place wanted to charge me fucking $30 for sending one live lobster.
Oh. No, yeah, no. I would be like, no, thanks.
And I got it from Maine, so I didn't even fuck around.
Ooh, even
Massachusetts.
Going through my filters right now.
But it was definitely a close game, and if there is any consolation, at least you guys were still holding your breath until the very last play.
Yeah,
even the people at the party were like, nobody's celebrating. They're really worried about this one.
You know, funny, it's, and I'm one of those people, it's like, I'm naturally hyper as it is, so I have my Fitbit on. I tracked 10,000 steps during that game.
Oh my god! Yeah, it was.
I had 7,000, and when I finished, I had 17,000 plus.
And we had a knockout, which is more than we had in a lot of boxing matches that weekend. Fucking Brandon
Cooks
got laid right the fuck out.
Yes. You know, it's like in any sport, you have the shot you don't see coming is the one that takes you out, and he didn't see it coming, and boy, it took him out.
Yep, so then Brady had to try to be a receiver, and he failed, obviously, and then you guys did the Philly special on us on fourth down. Great.
Yep. That becomes so popular now that somebody went, actually had the X and O design tattooed on them.
For the play, like the play scheme?
That's funny.
I could see somebody doing that. Yeah, it was a great game. Definitely one of the best in history. I mean, it was like, it was funny because you last week were like, I don't think it's going to be that high scoring. It was even higher scoring than I thought it was.
Oh my God.
It was the most yards, overall yards ever in a Super Bowl, and I think it was most points too. I'm not sure. Total points. I wouldn't be surprised. But I really like
the only one that was an actual blowout. I think it was like a Niners game when they won like 55-26 or something. Oh. Something like ridiculous like that, or 58-26. So it was a blowout, but it was high scoring blowout.
Well, you got your first one. Enjoy it. Took me a little while to get our first one.
I will. I went to the parade today, so I left my house at 4:45 this morning because public transportation was a nightmare, and I had to go pick my cousin up, meet my friend. Then we took an Uber from my friend's house to the subway station. We ended up getting down there around 7:30 in the morning, and there were 30 thousands of people, if not hundreds of thousands of people already lined up.
Yeah.
They estimate it was 5 million people there today, and it was a party.
So is that why the stock market took a 1,000-point dive today?
I don't know. Maybe.
Because nobody was in Philly was working?
We had the Billy guy.
The guys on TV were like, well, I don't think there's a single person at work in Philadelphia today. Obviously, the cops were working.
I requested first dibs for this day off weeks ago. Told my boss, I said, listen, they win, I get first dibs. I said, you guys had me work on Boxing Day. When everybody else was taking time off, I stayed and did overtime. So I won first dibs. The boss, he was like, well, you know, I'm sure they'll let people out for the parade. I'm like, yeah, but I don't work in the city office. And I don't want to be let out for a little bit. I want the whole kit and caboodle. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh, and I'm like, dude, I have seniority, so I don't even start. And he's like, yeah, you're right. I'm like, damn right I'm right. Mm-hmm. And then when I saw him last week, I'm like, hey, reminding you. He goes, dude, he goes, I'll probably see you there. I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. So you're relenting. And then they decided to close our Center City office because nobody could get to work anyway. And they're like, but those that had the capability of working from home should log in and work from home unless you want to take a personal day off. Finally, the director of our division was like, no. She's like, I want my whole team to have off to go and enjoy the parade. And if you don't want to enjoy the parade, just enjoy a day off at home.
There you go.
You know? So, I just got home literally about an hour before you were scheduled to even start the show. So you figure I had about a good 6-hour day.
And I thought it was great today that I was actually watching the parade, and I took a day off too because I'm a slacker and I wanted to be in your mindset today. I wanted to copy Tony, take the day off. No.
Anybody ever said that?
No, I just basically just worked so hard yesterday that I just really didn't have any motivation to get up and shovel today and then go to work. So I just watched most of the parade on TV and I was blown away by that speech from Kelsey.
Yeah.
What the hell is he wearing, too? Is that your next Halloween costume or what?
It is not. That's a traditional mummer's parade outfit. That famous Philadelphia parade they do on New Year's Day.
Ah.
He was like, if I'm going to be in the parade in Philadelphia, I got to figure out I'm going to dress like people do for parades in Philadelphia. And hence, that's what he wore.
You look like Genghis Khan or something.
He's definitely a charismatic character.
And then one of the other guys was announcing and, you know, leading up to the actual ceremony there, he was saying that Nick Foles is like the real Rocky, the real-life Rocky.
Yeah, really.
Balboa. Because he was such an underdog, you know, he was walking away from the sport and then come back in. And that's the best part about this whole thing, like just that story of how, you know, it's almost exactly the same as the Bledsoe situation, except the Bledsoe and Tom Brady situation happened earlier in the season and earlier in the career of Brady. So, I mean, it's not that much different as far as circumstances. And, you know, Foles is obviously towards the end of his career, but I don't think he's going to hang him up anytime soon.
No, I mean, he was going to hang up because he had, you know, really rough go of it, but you figure he's only been in the league, I think this is his sixth year. He was drafted in 2012, spent 2012, 2013, and then 2014 in Philadelphia. He was, you know, in 2012, I think he only played like a few games. 2013, he really emerged when Michael Vick got injured, had a great season, went to the Pro Bowl, was the Pro Bowl MVP. 2014, he wasn't having as good of a year, but still decent. Then he got hurt, and he was out for the rest of the season with a broken collarbone. And then they traded him in 2015, and he went to L.A. or St. Louis at the time and just, you know, had a rough go of it. And then he's down his confidence. He was going to quit. And then he went to Kansas City back with Andy Reid, who drafted him. And then since he was familiar with Andy Reid and also Doug Peterson, who was the coach when he was here in Philly, he came to Philly as a backup, and you know what? His time came, and you know, he made the most of it. And that's the thing, is like in like the Rocky movie, the first one, it's like, you know what? He got a shot, you know, and he made the most of it.
Yep. Yes, he did. And another interesting thing is there was a lot of backups running the plays, too. You got the coach, Doug Peterson, he used to be a backup quarterback. Frank Reich. Which is the guy that I saw make the most unbelievable comeback ever. 35 points in the second half.
Buffalo, Houston.
That was nuts. I was a little kid watching that. I'll never forget it.
Yep.
Anyway, it was all good. Congratulations, of course. And
Thank you.
I bet you can't wait to see the Rocky Marciano statue with a giant fucking Eagles jersey on it.
Very much so. Very so.
I think they're going to take a few days to stitch that fucker.
I told people about it, and you know, they're like, "Oh, well, why would they?" And I'm like, "Why is that?" You know, so important. I'm like, "Well, first of all, Rocky Marciano was the real heavyweight champion of the world." I said, "This statue is 23 feet tall, almost. So it's going to be pretty cool." And the fact that he won his title in Philadelphia just makes it that much cooler.
Right.
And
Bat situation brought a lot of attention to the statue that hadn't been getting a lot of attention, and they've since the dedication, they also have a new park there. So the mayor is actually excited that, you know, the story of the bat brought so much attention that more people will come to see the statue and enjoy the park. So even though we lost, it works out.
Hey, it works out, right? Because it helps.
Story. And then there was one senator who had to wear the fucking Eagles helmet. Massachusetts senator. He had to wear the Eagles helmet in to vote for the whole week.
Oh, nice.
So that was funny. They got a picture of him on the news. Anyway, we got to get to some combat sports. Not football. Till next year. And we got one last thing, too. On my FanDuel team, I picked all the wrong people, of course. I should have thought LeGarrette Blount, but should put him in there just because of his experience with the Patriots. And then Corey Clement absolutely had to have the best catch of the game. And he was wicked cheap on FanDuel, too. So that would have been great if I had both of those two on one team.
You know, it's funny. I was drafted with his uncle today.
Nice. That was just, I mean, there's people at the party that I was at, like, trying to nitpick and say, oh, his foot wasn't down and all this shit. And, yeah, it was close. It could have been called if you went, like, the strict technical rule on a catch that they keep destroying people's best highlights with this year in past games. They could have done that there, but I guarantee you the ref who looked at that must have thought to himself, there's no way I can take this play away from that guy. That was just, it was just too good. I mean, to get that ball between two defenders like that, catch it in stride, and you know, stay in bounds. There might have been a tiny little bobble, but you just can't take that away from somebody. I mean, there would have been riots if they took that one away. That was bad. But, yeah, that was a great catch. Anyway, so I didn't win the million, but hey, I still got my $200 win. The best win of the year. Anyway, Roy Jones Jr. coming up on his last fight this weekend. Actually, tonight. He'll be fighting in Florida.
Oh, no.
Roy Jones Jr. fighting Scott Sigmund, who is 30-11 with one draw. And Roy will be looking for his 66th win in this one to go with 9 losses, total of 75 fights. And nobody else worth mentioning really on the card there. It's just a 3-fight card. So it's all about Roy right down there in Florida. I guess that pretty much demolishes the chances of Roy Jones Jr. versus Anderson Silva boxing. But Anderson's got some trouble anyway. He's got to keep his drugs out of his system. Keeps getting popped. Oh, there's... might be the mismatch of the week here from Chile on Friday. Christian Palma, 26-10-1, fighting Jeremias Javier Ulibar, who is 7-5-1. Not too bad of a record, but pretty bad against the other guy. Still on fire. Yeah, we got an interesting one on Saturday in Quebec. Simon Keane, undefeated at 12-0, fighting Alexis Santos, 18-2, for the International Boxing Organization Intercontinental Heavyweight title. We got another one from Ontario, Canada on Saturday main event. Tyson Cave, 30-3, fighting Ulysses Perez, 17-6. No title there. Try to get a big Showtime card. Saturday. Here's one from Cancun, Mexico. Miguel Urshelt, 32-1, fighting Maxwell Awuku, 44-3-1 for the WBC World Super Featherweight title. Also, this is an ESPN card, by the way, on Saturday. Jamie Munguia, 26-0, fighting Jose Carlos Paz, who's 21-6-1. Also, Pedro Campa, 27-1, fighting Ivan Alvarez, who's 27-8. WBC International Female Flyweight title on the line in Chihuahua, Mexico. Diana Laura Fernandez, 16-2, and Nomi Bosquez, who is 11-10-3. It's also on Saturday. Miguel Roman in the co-main event. He's 58-12, fighting Aristides Perez, who is 31-10-2. There's one in Poland. They don't have him in the main event, but they got Krzysztof Wlodarczyk on this card. This might be the mismatch of the week. 53-4 with one draw, fighting Adam Gadaju. G-A-D-A-J-U. J-E-W. That's a funny name. Gadaju is 17-14. And then we've got another Krzysztof Głowacki on the same card. He's 28-1, fighting Manroy Siddiqui, who is 14-1. And we got some fights in Russia. Shakshev Kadzon Rakhamov. Definitely butchering that one. He is 11-0 fighting Malcolm Klassen, who is 33-7-2, and that's for the International Boxing Organization World Super Featherweight title. And we got, if that one wasn't hard enough, this one's even harder. Mohamed Kujayakubov, who is 10-0, fighting Mark Ervanov, who's 12-1, for the vacant IBF Baltic Super Featherweight title and the vacant WBA Continental Super Featherweight title. And we have the vacant WBO Youth Lightweight title up for grabs between Zaur Abdulayev, 7-0, and Ardi Boyos, who's 18-1-2. What else we have? And out in Worcester, Massachusetts on Saturday, Jose Antonio Rivera is promoting a card with Richard Rivera, his son, in the main event, fighting Kevin Cobbs. Rivera is 5-0, Kevin Cobbs is 10-2. That's for the Universal Boxing Federation All-America Light Heavyweight title. And there's a guy on here with a record of 6-28-2 fighting. Guy who's 3-0. That's nice.
Okay, so we're on board here. We got one of our criteria met for the week. We got the worst record so far. We just need the Jesus fight, and somebody's always got to go. So keep it going.
Well, I have a Jesus fight here, but it could also be the mismatch of the week. Not the week, but it's definitely a mismatch. We got Jesus Saucedo. Way down on the card in Virginia here. 6-2-1 fighting Kuwanda Williams, who is 1-1-1. So he's had every result possible. 1-1-1. Lost 1-1-1 and tied 1. Of course, we're not done yet. I think we still got some Saturday and Sunday fights. Oh, Hank Lundy's fighting Saturday.
Yes, he is in Philadelphia.
2,300 arena. We got Hank, who is 28-6-1, fighting DeMarcus Chop Chop Corley, who is 50-28-1. And actually, we had DeMarcus on our show long time ago.
Yes, we did. We had both of these combatants.
Yep, and I saw Hank fight in person in Boston.
Yeah.
It's a good little matchup there. A lot of experience for DeMarcus. I didn't realize he had that many fights. More than Roy Jones. Crazy. Derek Webster also on the card. He's 24-1, fighting Francisco Cordero, who is 38-9. And nothing too crazy on the rest of that card. Now we're into Sunday. I swore I missed something. Is there another fight I'm missing somewhere? There's one on CBS Sports on Saturday. Nico Hernandez, 3-0, fighting Joseph Atjai, who's 19-9, with a vacant International Boxing Association flyweight title. And then Maurice Byarm, 13-2-1, fighting Richard Carmack, who is 15-12-1. Tuesday night in Bethlehem, we got a Kings Promotions card going on too. Kermit Cintron in the main event, 39-6 with 3 draws, fighting Marquise Taylor, who's 8-1. And we got Frank D'Alba in the co-main event, Tuesday Wild, he's 22-2-2, fighting Carlos Padilla, who is 16-6-1. And then we got Michael Fox, 15-0, fighting Ricardo Garcia, who's 14-1. And the other big fight, Joe Hanks, 22-2, fighting Nick Guivas, who is 14-9-2. That's it till next week for boxing. But we had some fights last weekend. The big ones were the Boxing Super Series, World Boxing Super Series fights. And Murat Gassiev, his O had to go. He went, he won. He beat Junior Dorticos, whose O had to go. He went to 22-1, Dorticos, and Gassiev improves to 26-0 with 19 knockouts. And his next fight is going to be Alexander Usyk, who beat Maris Bredis to give him his first loss. So he now stands at 23-1. And Alexander Usyk is 14-0 now. So they'll be fighting on the 11th of May, Usyk and Gassiev. That should be a good one. And there's going to be a lot of belts on the line. We got IBF World Cruiserweight title, WBA Super World Cruiserweight title, WBC World Cruiserweight title, and WBO. All of the above. And we got some sad news in the world of boxing before we switch over to MMA. Your buddy, Steve Acunto, died just the other day at 101 years old. Another guest of ours.
Wow. Steve was a great guy. Got to fight on his cards 3 times back up at State University in New York, Westchester. Steve was a friend of Rocky Marciano. And that's I'm sad to hear that. I really like Steve as the guy. He was good guy, a nice guy. I had the honor of fighting in his car a couple times, and it was sad to hear this news.
He was called the Dean of Boxing, and obviously you mentioned Rocky Marciano, but he also had some other connections. He trained and sparred with some of the sport's best, including Lou Ambers, Tony Canzanieri, Charlie Goldman, and Tommy Loughran. He was born in Staten Island in 1916, then moved to Mount Vernon at age 14 and lived there for 86 years. And he must have been in his 90s when he talked to us then.
Yeah.
That's nuts. I didn't realize.
Shit, he was in his 80s when I fought on his cards.
And it's estimated that he taught 8,000 students how to box. In addition to Marciano, he taught Willie Pep, Muhammad Ali, and Roy Jones Jr. Well, I don't know if he taught them, but he worked with them. So he will be missed. We'll have to find his old interview at some point. Replay that. If we still have it. I don't know how long ago that was. It was the Blog Talk Radio days. We still have it. But yeah, great guy. 101 years old. That's a lot of living. A lot of living. All right, so big news in the UFC this week is another fight canceled. We had Max Holloway pulling out of his fight with Frankie Edgar, which put UFC 222 up in the air for a little while. But it's going to continue as a main event, as a pay-per-view event, and the main event's just going to change, and it's going to be Cyborg versus Yana Kunitskaya is the new headliner. And they wanted to keep the title bout at the top, so they felt that one was the best.
Whoopee!
Yeah. Edgar is going to say...
And they're going to keep it a pay-per-view. God bless them.
Right.
That is brilliant business. Brilliant business. God bless them.
And Frankie Edgar stays in the card as well, and he's going to face what might be an even tougher opponent because he's just kind of a sleeper fighter. He just came out of nowhere. Brian Ortega. And he just keeps winning, so... Might be a risky fight for Edgar to take in short notice, but we'll see.
Yeah, that's very risky for Frankie.
And it's going to be March 3rd in Las Vegas. There's also a heavyweight fight between Andre Arlovsky and Stefan Struve. I don't think I ever fought before, but that's a great matchup. So, and Kunitskaya, she's a native of St. Petersburg, Russia. She last appeared at Invicta FC 25, where she captured the promotion's 135-pound belt with a five-round decision against Raquel Pa'alui, must be a Hawaiian name, back in August. The 28-year-old owns a 10-3 record with one no contest as a professional. And Ortega, of course, just come off the fight where he beat Cub Swanson with a guillotine choke. The fight Cub was doing really good in, but Ortega did his thing. This is one of his best moves. And, of course, we had UFC Fight Night 125 over the weekend, day before the Super Bowl. Lyoto Machida fought Eric Anders to a split decision win. So Anders takes his first loss, falls to 10-1, and Machida goes up to 23-8. It didn't look spectacular, but he did enough to get the job done. And I'll tell you who the Referee of the Year award is not going to. Mario Yamasaki for his co-main event performance. Horrible reffing.
I just wonder when some athletic commissions are going to finally have their fill of him.
And it's ironic that this just happened because there was just an inquest into the death of Joel Carvalho, who was on Conor McGregor's team over there in Ireland. And they identified multiple issues. But the referee actually said he wouldn't change a thing about how he reffed that fight. But there was something like 40-something straight shots to the head this guy took or something, or total shots to the head. So it ended up being both a brain bleed and aspirating on his own vomit that killed him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's rough. But he actually took a picture with Conor and his opponent right after the fight and seemed all right, just kind of fell apart in the dressing room. But when you have a fight situation like that and everybody's leaving the fight at the end of the night and you got to try to get to the hospital, you know, there's all kinds of obstacles, mostly people, to get around. And I guess the hallway was full of people and they couldn't get the ambulance straight, so there was some delayed action on getting him some care. So it was just one of those things that came out today, and they recommended a nationwide commission over there, so we'll see if that shakes out. But Valentina Shevchenko Saturday night put such a vicious beating on Priscilla Cachoeira that Mario Yamasaki ought to be suspended because he could have stopped it a lot earlier, and it ended up having to be a rear naked choke submission that actually forced Cachoeira to tap out, but she just wasn't in the fight from the get-go. And Shevchenko just outclassed her, outpunched her, outstruck her, and just outperformed all across the board. And there was just so many successive punches that Yamasaki just watched Cachoeira take. And, you know, obviously there wasn't a death here, but there very well could have been. Very well could have been. It's just a shame to have to see somebody take that kind of punishment when you know there's no chance that they're going to come back. And it did go into the second round, so you could fault the corner, too. It went 4 minutes and 25 seconds into that round, so you know, the corner could have said, just forget about it at the end of the first.
Did Yamasaki make any comments afterwards? Because I didn't hear any of his post-fight comments, if he made any.
I'm not sure. You know, remember when we had the referee on and he told us he doesn't talk about fights?
Yeah.
The guy from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a policy, maybe it's just a personal thing for him, but I would think that maybe there's some kind of what's the word I'm thinking of?
Make culpa?
Like an agreement between the refs that they just don't do that as a whole, like a pact, that's the word I'm thinking of, that they made with each other or when they signed up to be refs. But I don't know, maybe that's the reason why, or maybe he's just too ashamed.
Well, I mean, we're all human, yeah. And I would think that it would be in his benefit to at least concede that, you know, maybe I was wrong about this. But, I don't know, it doesn't seem to be, I mean, after that Chesney, Kevin Lee thing.
Right.
He just, I know more, you know, one of these, I always know best, and maybe that's just his personality. Very arrogant.
We know Dana White hates him, that's for sure. He is,
A lot of people do, with good reason.
He's
and that's why I can't understand why he keeps getting, like, Mazzagatti, at least he's finally been... we don't see him too much, but you know, when these things keep happening again and again and again.
Yeah, ridiculous. We also had Michael Prazeres beating Desmond Green by unanimous decision, Timothy Johnson beating Marcelo Gomes by unanimous decision, Douglas Silva de Andrade beating Marlon Vera by another unanimous decision. And Thiago Santos demolished Anthony Smith with a TKO, kick to the body and punches in the second round. 1 minute and 3 seconds into that one. Sergio Moraes beating Tim Means by decision. Split decision. Alan Patrick Silva Alves beat Demir Hadzevic by unanimous decision. And another female fight, Pollyanna Viana Moda beat Maya Kahuwanale Stevenson by rear naked choke, 3 minutes and 50 seconds into the fight. Then Yuri Alcantara beat Joe Soto by TKO, kick to the body and punches in the first round, 1 minute and 6 seconds into that one. And the first fight of the night, Davison Figueiredo beat Joseph Morales by TKO from punches. Second round, 4 minutes and 34 seconds. And the big event this weekend, it was supposed to be somebody else fighting Yoel Romero, Robert Whittaker, in his home area. He's from the region there. And Ended up, he got hurt, so Luke Rockhold stepped in. And Luke and Yoel are now the new main event for UFC 221, coming to us from Perth Arena in Australia. And Yoel comes in at 12-2, Luke comes in at 16-3. And I really don't know how that's going to go. I mean, both of these guys have totally different styles. It's just, it's tough to call this one. I'd like to, you know, do common opponent math, but I don't know how many common opponents they have.
Well, on paper, I think the longer it goes, the better for Luke. And if he's just smart early on and doesn't resort to, you know, his basic lack of defense at times, I see him having the better cardio.
One of the last guys to beat Michael Bisping. Well, not one of them. He beat Michael Bisping, then Michael Bisping beat him back. But his only two recent losses were to Bisping and Vitor Belfort back in 2013. And his one other loss came in his second fight of his career. He wasn't even in the UFC or Strikeforce, but he spent most of his career in Strikeforce and then made the transition to the UFC. And he's done pretty well. He just has that one loss there in the UFC. Yoel Romero, let's see his record. He actually has lost to Robert Whittaker in July 2017, so this would have been the second crack at him. Other than that, in the UFC, he's undefeated. His other loss was in Strikeforce back in 2011 against Rafael Cavalcante. I like Rockhold to win this one. He obviously showed some weaknesses in that fight against Robert Whittaker the last time. And showed some vulnerability to the striking, for sure. And one of my favorite fighters.
And I don't think Luke's too freaked out about if it goes to the ground. I mean, he's very well-rounded.
And one of my favorite UFC fighters, not only because of his fighting style, but also because of the fact that he's suing the UFC. I love that. At the same time, he's fighting for them. Mark Hunt. 13-11 is his record, with one draw coming into this one against Curtis Blades, who is 8-1. And they're throwing him in with another big, heavy dude. So we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, this is the old lion against the young lion. It's going to be interesting because Mark really needs a win to stay relevant. And Blades is not going to be a cheap date at all.
Well, Blades' UFC debut came against none other than Francis Ngannou. And no surprise, he got TKO'd after the second round.
Well, he wasn't really hurt that bad. It was just that eye swelling. His eye just was too swollen to keep going. He wanted to keep going. So he's got a good chin.
And he had a win against Cody East after that. TKO of his own. Then he had a no contest against Adam Milstead at UFC Fight Night 104, and Daniel Omelanchuk took a loss against him at UFC 213. On the same card, Romero fought Whittaker, and then Alexei Olenek was his last win, Dr. Stoppage, at 156 in the second round on the Bisping versus St. Pierre card in November. And before that, he was in some feeder leagues. He punched his way right through the feeder leagues with nothing but TKOs. 5 straight TKOs. So he's obviously got punching power. But he seems to definitely have a fighting chance here against Hunt. works out for him anyway. But I like Mark. I think, you know, that haymaker of his just needs to connect a few times. And he'll be all set. And those leg kicks, he should have been throwing way more of them against his last opponent. But maybe he'll figure it out this time, Derek Lewis.
Yeah, definitely. And my heart has to be with him. But my head's wondering, you know, 43, he ain't no spring chicken.
Yeah, well, I mean, his big problem is he just keeps his hands too low and he takes so much head shots. But, you know, as far as style goes, he's got that unbelievable reach from the haymakers he throws. It's, you know, the way he was connecting with Derek Lewis's chin with those things. And I was amazed that Derek Lewis didn't go down from any of those.
And you have to admit, he has the most gangster style after those walk-away knockouts.
Yeah.
I could watch that stuff for hours. It's just, and that's a lot of sportsmanship there, too. I don't think he's trying to just have a lot of swagger and rub it in. I mean, that's being a sportsman. You know the guy's out. Why jump on him? He just walks away like, yeah, no big deal.
Yep, and then Cyril Asker, 9-3, fighting Tai Tuivasa, who's 6-0. Jake Matthews, also on the card, 11-3, fighting Jiang Liang Li, who is 14-4. Tyson Pedro, 6-1, fighting Saparbek Safarov, who's 8-1. He's got to be the guy who's been, he's got to be the only person this high up on a Sherdog card that doesn't have a picture, or on a UFC card. The eighth fight of the night. No picture for Saparbek. Damian Brown also on the card. He's 17-11 fighting Dong Hyun Kim, otherwise known as the Stun Gun. He is 15-8-3. Then we got Israel Adesanya, who is 11-0 fighting Rob Wilkinson, who is 11-1. And Jeremy Kennedy also 11-0 fighting Alexander Volkanovski, who is 16-1. Jussie Da Silva, 20-5, fighting Ben Nguyen, who is 16-6. Ross Pearson, 19-14, fighting Mizuto Hirota, who is 18-8-2. Teruto Ishihara, 10-4-2, fighting Jose Alberto Quinones, who is 6-2. And then Luke Jumol, 12-4, fighting Daichi Abe, who is 6-0. I believe that about does it for our big news here. And events, that's all I have right in front of me. You guys got anything you want to add before we go?
No, I don't, man. It's been a long day. I'm just ready to end it.
Yeah. Get some rest. You got to work tomorrow, right?
I know I do.
Yeah, I'm not looking
forward. It was the point, like I said, the whole company ended up closing because they figured, first of all, my company was sponsoring Parade. So I guess it would be good PR to, you know, let the employees go to it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
But I'll have to send you guys some photos. I think you'll find them amusing.
Yeah, look forward to it.
All right. Well, gentlemen, you know, Rich, thank you for the congratulations. Thank you for the, you know, the soon-becoming lobsters and clam chowder. And when you get a chance, make sure I get some photos of that Marciano statue.
Yeah, definitely. They said something about working out the logistics. So, I mean, it wouldn't have happened with the Rocky statue because he's human-sized with the Balboa statue.
But, you know, they would have to just get like a 4XL or something. But yeah, nothing that's 23 feet tall, you know.
Yeah, that's going to have to be custom made, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the only other thing I could think of is like a wool hat might fit if you stretch it out over his head.
Yeah,
I don't think that would be enough to you know, square
the
head. That would kind of be cheating, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Or well,
I'm sure it'll be bad and it'll be worth it.
Right. That's going to be crazy, though, because they're only going to do it one day. So what are they going to do with this giant Philly jersey for the rest of the time? They're putting it in a museum or what?
Deal with it.
Tony will take it.
Yeah. The mayor.
Well, it's funny because the mayor of Brockton used to be the referee, or no, the announcer for the MMA fights in Plymouth, Mass. That I used to go to all the time. So, I mean, I know a lot of people who know him, and I've met him in person, talked to him in person a bunch of times. So, I can make a phone call. Make sure you get that. Well, I guess the guy who came up with it, his son was the one who suggested it to him. And his son is an Eagles fan, so maybe that's probably the guy who's going to get it.
Yeah, that could be where it came from.
Well, that's where it came from, but I'm saying that kid, the kid, is probably going to get the jersey, too.
Oh, wow.
After they take it off. Unless some vandal climbs up there and cuts it off. I can see somebody with a ladder going right up there after they see that and tearing it off, thinking it's a prank. They'll have to have a police detail paid for that day to watch it. Anyway, that's all we got. Thanks for the good show here, and we'll talk next week.
All right, guys. Enjoy the fights this weekend.
Adios.